that's the great question, isn't it? When did that happen? Whether you are a sheep or a goat in that moment as they're telling the story. Let's touch base for a minute. Our series on facing our fears will continue all the way through Easter Sunday, and I hope that you will continue to invite friends, neighbors to join with you, because the reality is people are living too much on their fears. And if I avoid politics, but if I say one thing about the political season, it's that you can see how fears guide so much of the discussion. It's not a healthy thing. And it's not a healthy thing in the church. So let's talk about what our primary fear here is when we hear this passage about sheep and goats and this dividing that takes place. This passage is about judgment. Matter of fact, it's about the judgment. And some of us get very uncomfortable anytime the religious conversation moves in that direction. In part because we don't want other people to think that we are judgmental, and that's true. I don't want to be thought that way. And some of us vaguely remember some Bible verse somewhere that says something about do not judge. Oh, yeah, so we don't want to be doing that. So I'm just uncomfortable talking about judgment in general. And matter of fact, not only do we not like to talk about judgment, a lot of folks don't even like to think about judgment. And so we, in the religious community, in particular the Christian faith community, we have friends and we're worried about them for their salvation. We have family members that we are worried about for their salvation. Sometimes we have fellow church-going friends that we're nervous about. Hey, what are you doing looking down the pew? Quit doing that. Just kidding. Sort of. See, one of the beautiful things about living in a community like ours, multicultural, a very highly educated community, a democratic society, one of the great things is you get to meet and know and interact and appreciate people from all kinds of different backgrounds. When we start talking about judgment, it's the hard part of living in that kind of community or having friends from all those backgrounds, because if we take seriously the Bible, if we believe Jesus when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except by me, we get concerned. It's a struggle for us. We get concerned about the eternal destiny of folks that we deeply care about. And I will say, I believe that when we say we feel that for other people, I believe that by and large, we are being honest. By and large, we're being genuine. But at the same time, I also must say that I think a lot of folks find ways to talk about the judgment that others might face, when really what we're kind of worried about and wrestling with deep down on the inside is our own self and our own situation. Am I good enough? Am I going to miss out on heaven? Am I going to be a goat, much to my surprise, when I thought I was a sheep? Is that what that verse is teaching? Is that the way we feel? See, I want to take this passage on judgment and connect it to another passage very nearby. Just a few chapters earlier in Matthew 16, verse 25, Jesus said, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You see this principle many times in the teachings of Jesus. We lose ourselves in service to him and to others, and thus fulfill his character and his nature within us. And when you read the Gospels again and again, you see Jesus coming back to this theme. And so here we are in Matthew 25, even when he is teaching about the judgment, and he's really talking to, at the very same time, with great emphasis, about how our lives really count for him. They really reflect him. They demonstrate that we belong to him when we live in service to others. Putting others ahead of ourselves. That passage that Deb read for us just a few moments ago, You don't have to be a Greek scholar. You don't have to be a wizard in ministry to recognize that when Jesus says, yeah, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. Jesus is very much connecting a care for other people, serving others with serving God himself. The penetrating words that Jesus uses as he quotes that king that he's referring to in this story are, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. So let me put the question this way. Do you want to come alive spiritually? I hope you do. Do you want to quit being afraid of stuff? Quit being afraid that you aren't good enough, that you aren't doing enough, that somehow you might miss out, that, yes, I'm a hypocrite at times, I'm afraid that's going to disqualify me. Do you want to quit operating out of fear and out of guilt and put your Christian life into serious gear with God and do something for God? Then do this. If that describes you, here's what Jesus says. Serve somebody. Solve the judgment question by serving somebody. He said, the greatest among you, this is Matthew 23, just a couple chapters earlier, the greatest among you will be your servant. On another occasion, he said, the one who wants to be the king must be servant of all. The leader has to be the servant of all. So we can read Matthew chapter 25 and this story about sheep and goats, and we can get scared of this question about the judgment. How do I know if I'm a sheep or a goat? What if I'm not good enough? Can I just solve that for you? The Bible is unequivocal. The Bible is absolutely consistent. The Bible is absolutely clear. You are not good enough. Nor am I good enough. Nobody is good enough to what? To earn, to merit, to somehow deserve salvation, to deserve forgiveness, to earn it. No, the Bible is absolutely clear. No one is good enough in a moral sense, in even a serving sense, to earn it. The teaching of the New Testament is crystal clear. Salvation, forgiveness, going to heaven. These things come to us by faith, by grace through faith, as a result of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, by the power reflected by his resurrection. This is where those things come from. The point of the Bible passage that we're looking at today, Matthew 25, it has nothing to do with how you know that you are good enough to prove that you have served others enough to qualify to enter the kingdom of heaven. That is not what it means. On the basis of those social works that you have earned the right to demand entry into God's favor or into heaven. So very quickly, as good Bible students, let's understand the context. Now, whenever anybody says that, right, you know. When somebody is saying something and it appears to have an agenda behind it, somebody will want to say, I don't know, I think they're taking that stuff out of context. So let's understand the context. We do not want to take it out of context. This story that we're looking at today of the sheep and the goats, and by the way, some call it the parable of the sheep and the goats. Some call it the prophecy of the sheep and the goats because they say it's going to happen one day. I think they both can be applied very fairly. And it's a part of a larger discussion about judgment that's present in the entire Gospel of Matthew. And if you've got your Bible open, you can just look at the whole chapter of Matthew and see that it's three different stories all leading to this discussion of the judgment. That's the context. Now, in our case, we're talking about facing our fears, and we've been framing this series against the background of Jesus' journey from the triumphal entry into Jerusalem to the cross, the last week of his earthly life and ministry. And that's how we've been framing this kind of a Lenten journey. There's time of Lent. We've been following the progress of Christ from the triumphal entry through the cross. And here he is in Matthew 25 today, teaching. And you might say, well, that's not too surprising. If I knew I was going to give my life, I would want to teach. I would want to make sure I've taught the thing that I want them to remember. And so you might think, you know, what he ought to do was to have retaught his greatest hits, right? Why didn't Jesus roll out the Beatitudes again? just to say, you know, before I go, let me review the biggie, or maybe re-preach the Sermon on the Mount to make sure that nobody missed those things. No, here's Jesus in the last week of his ministry, got a tight time frame, kind of like us this morning, right? Some of you are already wondering how I'm going to get through this sermon today. All right, so Jesus is, and you know what he says? I know we're in a rush, but we just need to talk about the judgment for a minute. We need to make sure we all understand what's going on. That's very powerful. That tells us what priority Jesus placed on understanding about judgment. So as church people, let's not be all shy and scared of it. Let's understand that our Lord said it was very important. We should pay attention. And if you're looking at Matthew 25, you'll notice three stories. I'm not going to take the time to read them, even to dissect them, but just real quickly to hit this for you. The first one is the story about the maids with the lamps. Remember, they were supposed to be ready in the night for the coming of the bridegroom, the image of Christ, and they weren't prepared. It ended up being unpreparation, not ready. Wisdom versus folly, a very powerful message related to judgment. The second story is the story of the talents, which is kind of a funny conversation because in English we always think of talents as a skill or an ability. Talents was a measure of money in biblical times, but it has some application both ways because it's talking about the investment of our lives. And as Jesus tells this story of the different numbers of talents that were entrusted and how they unfaithfully or faithfully discharged their stewardship of those things, that really has to do with, in the judgment, there's an evaluation of our stewardship. That's big. The stewardship of our lives, our talents, our time, our treasure, very interesting. Then the last story is this one about the sheep and the goats. So you go from talking about the preparation to talking about the expectations, and here at the end, we get the separation, the sheep and the goats. And I have to laugh. He says this division of people is going to take place like a shepherd with sheep and goats. Now, this morning in our prayer time, Pastor Paula shared that when she was a young child, her mother took her to this thing called a petting zoo. Where I grew up, you know what we called that? A farm. We grew up with these animals. And I know about Pastor Paula when she was a little girl from D.C. going to a petting zoo the first time. But can I just tell you, there's not a shepherd on this earth who has any difficulty distinguishing between a goat and a sheep. It's clear. It's like night and day. I mean, there is no goofing this up. So this is a very powerful message on separation. So what I want to do very quickly today was just hit some of the what I think are the unifying points that speak about judgment, some very solid, biblical, obvious truths about judgment. So let's go through them real fast. First of all, and we don't like to talk about this, but here it is. There will be a day of reckoning in the future for all people. This is clear Bible teaching, Old Testament, New Testament, Jesus' mouth itself from Paul. It's as clear as it can be. And you might say, well, Pastor, that's obvious. Well, as I would say, it's too obvious to ignore. We need to name it. Because you see, what's going on in our culture today is what scholars call universalism, what Disney calls all dogs go to heaven, right? And for people, we say all people go to heaven. And that way just makes the whole thing talking about judgment a whole lot easier, doesn't it? If everybody gets in, it's just a whole lot less stressful to talk about. Now, it's interesting because, as I said, we got people from different denominations in our church and our backgrounds. And it used to be that there was a fight between the Protestants and the Catholics. And the Protestants in the time of Martin Luther said, sola fide, by faith alone. That was the big argument, and that's the group we come out of. And their argument with the Catholic Church was the Catholic Church would say, it's fide and opere, your faith and your works, right? The two go together. And of course, the Bible teaches a lot about how both of those are present in the life of a Christian. That's certainly part of what Jesus is touching on in the parable of the sheep and the goats. But it was a big struggle between these two points of view. In America, we have now gotten rid of that struggle because we don't say that you are justified by faith alone. We don't say that you are justified by faith and works. In America, we say this, you are justified by death. You die, you must be going to heaven. I'm not kidding, folks. This is the attitude that the world wants to. I go to funerals a lot more than I, and some of them, it's pretty interesting to hear the conniptions that people go through, the convolutions, I should say, they go through to assure them. Basically, everybody goes. That is not what this says. There is no justification by death alone. That's not the Bible's teaching. Now, we have to be mature in our understanding that not all sins are judged in this world. We have to understand the righteous do suffer in this world. Sometimes the guilty go free in this world. If this world is ruled by a universal moral God, then one day there must come a reckoning. And that is exactly what the scripture says will happen. And the scriptures go on to say, let God be true and every man be found a liar. What that means is what God is going to judge on that day, that's how it is. There will be this day of reckoning. The second thing the Bible teaches about judgment is that there will be an emphasis on works. Now you might, oh my goodness, a Baptist pastor who says that judgment is going to involve something about works? Sure. You know why this Baptist pastor would say that? Because Baptist pastors believe the Bible. And Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says this. We love to quote this verse. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Verse 9, not by works, this is to your salvation, not by works, so no one could boast. But if you are saved, if you have that salvation, what happens? You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So understand that out of that salvation, not to earn the salvation, not to deserve, not to merit, but as a result of, there is this resulting change. And so, see, just like those maidens that had the little lamps and they were supposed to be watching faithfully, they were supposed to be being watchful about the whole thing, not having a dead faith, not having a disengaged faith. So we as believers are called not to have a dead faith, but if we are saved, if we've been transformed by Jesus Christ, then the path he has us on is one that changes and is based on service to others. How do we know that? Because Jesus said so. God has made those investments in us. Romans 2, 7 through 11. We don't have time to read the whole passage. You might want to jot it down and read it. But it talks about how God has done this in us, has done this work, and he has a goal in mind for us. The third lesson about judgment that the Bible has for us is that when it comes time for judgment, all of the explanations and excuses will fail before God. You remember at the end of the talents, the one who said, I buried it because I was scared of what? He said, I was scared of you. He said to the boss, it's your fault. Don't you love this? Try this at work. Boss, it's your fault because of your character. I thought you might be a harsh judge, so I didn't do what I should have done with what you entrusted to me. It didn't go over well with that boss, and it doesn't go over well with Jesus. And you might say, well, we would never do that with Jesus. Let me just give you a couple quotations. God loves me no matter what, so I do whatever I want. See, we blame it on, I'm only doing what I want because that's who God is. It's kind of his fault that I'm this way, you see. Or here's another one. God is sovereign, so it's okay for me not to worry about missions or evangelism. If God wants them saved, God can do it. He's all-powerful God. It's his fault if people not saved, not my fault. Here's another one. God is merciful. Well, amen. If that means I can be lazy in my spirituality because no matter what I do, God's going to forgive me for it. He's merciful. You see, we take our stuff and we let God's character be the blame for our sins to just kind of cover up our stuff. No, the Bible says he doesn't want to hear those kind of explanations and excuses. If there is no reflection of Christ in our behavior, what the Bible is saying, it's very doubtful that the transformation of Christ has taken place in our spirits. Did you hear that? Because that is the difference between knowing about God and knowing God. And it's the eternal difference. Let me give you another one. The fourth thing that's going to happen about judgment is that a lot of people are going to be surprised. If you want to be surprised on the judgment, raise your hand. Yeah, we don't want to be surprised. We want to know what the plan is, amen? So he warns us here. He says, look, isn't it wild? The ones who did do it were surprised. When did we ever do that? We were just living out of who we should have been. And the ones who didn't do the care, they were surprised. Well, if we'd have known it was you, Jesus, we'd have done something. Yeah, that's not good enough either, okay? There'll be a lot of surprises. The goats, as it were, thought that they were willing to serve Christ, but because they didn't see him, now they're kind of resenting the fact they're being judged for it. Well, when did we ever see you? We'd have done it if we'd known it was. No, that's not. It's a surprise. Can I just be an honest for a second? This is the scariest part almost of being a preacher, amen? I mean, you got a flock of people that you love, absolutely love, 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 and care about. But here's what Jesus said. See, if it hadn't been Jesus, we'd never say this because it's too risky. But Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? Depart from me, I never knew you. Wow! That is so painful. We do not want to be surprised like that, folks. I want to encourage you, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. He says, make your calling and election sure. Do these things, and you will receive a rich welcome in the eternal kingdom of our Lord. The Bible teaches us, makes it clear, the work of Christ inside of us changes what happens as Christ works through me, in me, and through me. That's true for all of us. And then here's the last one. For judgment, the ultimate resolution is eternal. This is another scary part, but it's a powerful truth. The people are separated like sheep and goats, and here's what he sums up at the end. He says, some to eternal punishment, and the righteous to eternal life. Now, can I just tell you that when the preaching team planned this schedule, maybe it's insightful that I was selected to do this sermon while I was out of town, and Pastor David and Pastor Paula assigned me the sheep and the goats. That's a joke, but it's true, but it's a joke. Talking about judgment is never an easy thing. But you see, I want our new church to get, as we're coming together and talking about pathways, baptism, what does it mean to come together as people? A big thing it means is to quit worrying about yourself and start serving other people. Why? Because it's convenient for us? No, because Jesus says it's absolutely essential. Absolutely essential. So listen, whatever is keeping you from doing that, you know, you may say, I'm not sure I'm good enough to serve in all these ways. Communion's getting ready to come up. I'm not sure I'm worthy. Then pray. Ask God for forgiveness. And then open your heart and hands to get busy. If you're waiting to be perfect before you serve God, listen, it's never going to happen. Abraham was old. Jacob was insecure. Leah was unattractive. Joseph was abused. Moses stuttered, Gideon was poor, Samson suffered from codependency, Rahab was immoral, David had an affair and all kinds of family issues, Elijah was suicidal, Jeremiah suffered from depression, Jonah was a reluctant missionary, Naomi was a widow, John the Baptist was eccentric, wore crazy clothes and ate weird food, Peter was impulsive, hot-tempered, and Martha fluttered around the kitchen, completely distracted away from Jesus. The Samaritan woman had a bunch of failed marriages. Zacchaeus was short and unpopular. Thomas had doubts. Paul had poor health. Timothy was timid. Folks, everybody's got something. Everybody's got something. And here's the beautiful thing. God used them all. And when it comes to the judgment of the sheep and the goats, God's going to say, not only did my character get born in you, but it played itself out. Enter in. Well done, good and faithful servant. I got two funerals this week, Monday for Millie Day and Saturday for Connie Ischio. Can I just say two spiritual giants, two women, lay people in the church who challenge this pastor of how to live for Jesus. I have no doubt both of them have already heard, well done, good and faithful servant. And isn't that where we all want to be? Enter into the kingdom with joy. That's our prayer. That's the invitation. We come to the Lord's table. In just a moment, we're going to share that. Understand, invitation to be God's people, to be changed on the inside, and to serve as we move forward. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I do pray that while we take the judgment so seriously, we understand that you did that in talking about the context of serving, and that that will settle into the very character and personality of this new church family, that serving others, especially the prisoner, the hungry, the poor, the least of these, the refugee, that is what you tell us to do. Help us not to shy away from that call. Help us to not only know you on the inside, but to share you through our manner of Christian living. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.